the past two decades we have been educating ourselves, even as per the desire of our master, that it shall be our duty to first educate and then do further research in the field. Spirituality is an open field, and to say that everything is already contained in some book or literature is detrimental to the progress of spirituality itself. Man has to grow into the higher realms of consciousness, and we are all participating in that endeavor. In the proper perspective, we have been examining the system and following it with all sincerity. We have developed tools to measure ourselves. We have developed questionnaires so that we can put questioning into a different pedestal. Our desire to serve the Master is more in trying to explain his system first. Having attained a certain amount of maturity and perfection in that type of work, we have to now start exploring the realms of consciousness in which we try to dwell. Today we are also releasing a book, the first volume of Dr. KCB's works. It's a re-release in a sense, but I wanted it to happen now only because we try to understand the seriousness with which an inquirer has looked into the problems of spirituality, wading through the mire of religious systems and philosophical systems. He has presented his perspective of the system of Babaji Maharaj, and it's our duty to align ourselves with that type of consciousness. More will be said on this subject when the book is released later today. My dear associates, who have been participating in the birthday celebrations of our beloved Master, Sri Ramchandra Ji Maharaj of Shahjahanpur, we were sharing our understanding of the system in correct perspective. One of the main contributions to the spiritual literature by the great Master Sri Ramchandra Ji Maharaj of Shahjahanpur is the delineation of various spiritual centers and sub-centers in the human frame in his book Towards Infinity. In this book he deals with essentially the nature of 13 spiritual centers or knots an aspirant has to travel through in spiritual enlightenment. In the book Efficacy of Raja Yoga, he mentions the 3 regions of consciousness called the heart region, the mind region, and the central region. The ISRC try to correlate the realms covered in these books, but before we consider the realms and the terms used therein, it is necessary to fully appreciate the need for such a study. Despite many feeling the need for a spiritual quest, it remains that materialistic reductionism is the dominant creed of our time. By materialistic reductionism, we mean models where it is taken for granted that a human being can be equated with his physical or her physical body. Thought processes are the product of the brain. Emotions can be manipulated through the medication. Psychological features are genetically determined, etc. From this point of view, the triumph of genetics could engender a wave of extreme materialistic reductionism where even spiritual aspiration becomes gene determined. Soon we may read from the newspapers that the gene for the samadhi is discovered. The idea that consciousness may exist independently of the physical body is disputed on all sides and is often ridiculed. It may be tolerated under the label of religious freedom, but virtually all branches of sciences are evolving in the opposite direction, explaining or explaining away our soul and spirit. Indeed, a few physicists have published best-selling books that present physics in spiritual terms. The fact is, when it comes to making decisions about new trends in the fields of scientific research, industrial and economic development authorities make their decisions according to hard scientific evidence. With the advent of genetic engineering, virtual reality, nanotechnology, and artificial intelligence, humanity is on the edge of momentous metamorphosis. It's all happening very fast, and if guided only by materialistic views, it could result in complete disaster. Soon, large-scale genetic manipulations will become as common as vaccinations. As on date, there is no researcher of repute examining the possibilities of whether any gene therapy has any impact on the ability to tune into spiritual realms. Strange as it may sound, I feel that someone must be working on a vaccine to make us not get affected by the virus called spirituality. We are not advocating a return to nature or the discarding of technology. What we need is a holistic integration of science and spirituality, a science that investigates topics related to consciousness and subtle bodies in particular, instead of ignoring them. Since the energetic and spiritual effects of drugs or any form of technology are never tested or documented, anything could happen. But even without disaster scenario, if nothing were to counterbalance the formidable wave of materialism that is presently unfolding, we could well end up in a polarized world where genuine forms of spirituality becoming more and more marginalized. The problem is nowadays something considered scientific if it works on rats, and if you can make statistics about it, all the more it is proved. This attitude can be best capture only the most superficial effects of spiritual experience, never its essence. The emerging trend of global thinking and feeling, which must necessarily be understood only in terms of types of human consciousness, requires a scientific approach, yes, to study this phenomenon. An attempt at a systematic exploration of states of consciousness is sought to be made in ISRC. From the diaries of meditation and other reports, including some discussions I had with about 150 persons regarding sadhana in PAM, I try to present the broad contours of spiritual awareness. The rather unstructured study of the massive data relating to subtle bodies, states of consciousness, spiritual beings, and non-physical levels of reality, the study yielded more information of immense worth to the sadhakas. I am to submit here that the data is being compiled and a team of workers are working on that, perhaps even without their knowledge. Further, what had emerged along the years of existence of ISRC is a method through which it has become possible to take groups of beginners who had never done any work on themselves and take them step by step to experience the different states of consciousness, starting from the preliminary guided meditations using pranahuti. It may kindly be noted that the study is not the product of one individual trying to share the present personal vision but is the product of collective wisdom as reported by the sadhakas in their reports based on guided meditation, individual sittings had from qualified trainers, group meditations or satsangs, and also the experience during the celebrations of the master's birthdays. The study attempts to provide the key principles of categorizing several states of consciousness. The content of consciousness of any person relates to one or more of the five causes. However inapt the comparisons, the idea of the inner space in which the content of consciousness moves, even as objects move in the outer landscape, needs to be presented. Regular and repeated exposure to Pang may be compared to the manner in which we have learnt about the contours of a city. From the information we have gained from others in the path, at first we only know a few locations and routes from one area to another. Then as we navigate through the city again and again, the general map becomes ingrained and sinks into our system. Over a period of time, discernment increases and we know the city thoroughly. Later, when driving through the street, we will immediately and effortlessly notice a new shop or a building that has been renovated. Similarly, categorizing consciousness means establishing references in our field of consciousness and systematically exploring different levels and states of consciousness. These may at first appear like altered states, but through repeated sessions of pranahuti become utterly familiar. It becomes as if we had always known them, not just because they are now completely understood and categorized, but also because we realize that these states have always been with us in what used to be the subconscious and unconscious background of our consciousness. In the process of purification, this type of categorization helps in making the unconscious become consciousness. Though broadly we know these states of consciousness relate to the causes, when we want to categorize, we require a methodology that is sufficiently pragmatic and scientific. But unlike other methods of scientific research, where the scientist and his object are separate, in a study of states of consciousness, the object and the subject are the same. The sadhaka is a scientist in spiritual realm, and his bondages, physical, astral and subtle, are the laboratory. Knowledge arrived at through spiritual states of consciousness is always self-knowledge, obtained through a harmonious marriage of intuition and critical discriminative intellect. When we attempt at exploring the content of consciousness, we have difficulties arising from the use of the words to denote such consciousness. This is because the words condition or dictate the world we live in. Dr. KCB stated that the linguistic habits have become perverse, so to start proper knowledge for expressing high spiritual knowledge, we must develop a new kind of terminology. It is in this context that ISRC talks more of experience than experience, trying to make people understand the fundamental difference between states of consciousness that we have during our meditation and others. It is also because of our keen desire to classify these states of consciousness properly, many words that have been used by the master and masters have been classified, first by Dr. V.S.R. Murthy in his book Devavani, which is published by the SRCM. A much better and more detailed work has been done by Dr. Madhav Rao and Dr. Murthy, B.S. Murthy. These people have worked on our Shruti. I don't know how many of you read it with the intention of knowing the consciousness states, but it is a beginning that we have made. The very many terms that are being used by philosophy are reused by us in different contexts, and they have got entirely different meaning. I continue. In a particular tribal society, according to an anthropological experiment, there is no word called square. We may note that in nature, square is not a dominant shape. The interesting fact that God revealed in a study was when the tribals were shown a video of revolving window frame, the subjects of the study did not perceive any rectangular object rotating in space. They only saw lines that moved. Having no concept of square, they did not identify the shape. Of course, this is a general principle that without naming or giving a term or word to any structure or object, we cannot express pointedly. This is the reason for form and name going together. In fact, these are the basic bondages in any existence. Similarly, without a term to identify a structure in their subtle bodies or particular states of consciousness, people tend to miss the corresponding experience. Even when the structure is in their immediate field of perception, they do not discern it. On the other hand, as frequently observed in the reports of sadhakas of PAM, we see that the moment they learn a word applicable to a state of consciousness, they have found no difficulty in identifying the state. Thus we see the crucial importance of words for studying the states of consciousness. The game of life provided by Empyrean, in fact, maps the states of consciousness, and many aspirants have gained much internal depth of understanding of the levels and states of consciousness from the lowest to the highest. Many consider that they are not sensitive enough to record their experiences of different levels or states of consciousness. Describing experiences requires many concepts that are not part of the common repertory of modern languages. This means that there is need for introducing new terms to describe things for which there are presently no words in English. Every science has its jargon, and it is so with spirituality too. It is essential to clearly understand that words have power. If we do not have words, we cannot identify states of consciousness, and if words are vague, so will be our experiences. It is a terminology that gives us the power to discern and express our feelings and thoughts and states of consciousness. The words aid us in having a vision of the internal conditions of consciousness. Almost all the sadhakas often have a shy and certain attitude of their own experience of consciousness. When they attempt to describe them, it is as if they were not sure whether it already happened or whether they dreamt it. The experiences they consider are not a part of the real world. Slowly, the assiduous aspirants, by a constant study of the books of the Master and the literature of ISRC, learn to adapt the language fit to express the spiritual states of consciousness. Usage of words like Ajapa, Anahata, Akshi, Kasbi, Pindadesh, Brahman consciousness, Prapanna condition, etc., becomes easy with more and more of practice of meditation in this system. It is to be noted that these terms throughout an opportunity for realizing the condition expressed by the world or words. They provide an opportunity to expand our universe and discover new modalities of being and enable us to mold our living compatible with the goal of life we have chosen. But just as there are terms that clarify, so there are terms that can create confusion. Words that cover too wide a range of experiential modalities, for example, the two adjacent knots 1A and 1B relating to Viveka and Vairagya. If we use the term knot 1 to mean both, it is obvious it does not help us in discerning the specific characteristics of each of them. There are words that unite and the words that divide. Pindadesh and Brahman are dividing words, while Brahman and Parabrahman are words that unite. These words are also used in Hindu religious texts, but the meanings are entirely different. The aspirant should never confuse these terms with that of religion. In Indian yoga systems also, we do not find the usage of these terms that common. However, we should consider the possibility of far-reaching consequences of a situation where spiritual groups would each become locked up in spirituality, in terminology of their own. If there is one thing that is supposed to unite human beings and not divide them, it is the spiritual work. It does not, however, mean that we are supposed to agree with everyone. There are topics on which different systems hold different views and where it is still impossible to use the same words. Still, this leaves scope for establishing wild common ground by ensuring a common terminology for all topics on which there is agreement. It is suggested that those who practice the system seriously may like to share thoughts with Imperials, and ISRC leads a circle of studies in this regard soon. May Master grant us the courage and confidence to undertake this type of spiritual work. Pranams.